Hello and welcome to the Jerk in the Curtain podcast.
I am El Toro Loco.
I'm Dizzo.
This is a special episode, and I want to start out by saying that due to yours truly running behind schedule, we are not going to be having a special guest this episode, but we will definitely have him on in the future. But we encourage you to stay with us and please enjoy this episode.
Oh yeah, I talked to him and I told him, I was like, we'll record a normal episode. I was like, record like 2 hours earlier than we would have tonight. And he was cool with it. So I told him, I'll let you know what's going on for the next one. I was like, possibly have you on the next one. So sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Hopefully no one was waiting with bated breath.
For our guest, like, because everybody's like, oh, who's the guest going to be? Like, no, they weren't. Nobody talks to us.
Nobody gives a shit.
It's just fun. It would mix it up a little bit, you know?
I mean, especially, I even went as far this morning as to post and ask for interaction on anywhere, on our Twitter, on through email, on our brand spanking new Jerk in the Curtain Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing.
Dude, listen, every time before we do an episode, like at least a day or two in advance, I put that thing up there on everything and no one says a word. I don't even care if my friends do it. Like, just do it. Just ask something.
Something, anything. I mean, we're still kind of, you know, screaming at the wishing well right now, you know?
Right. It's like, we're just going to keep talking until you listen and talk back. There's obviously that people listen, but we need some,
yeah,
we need some talk back, baby.
And as much as good old Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, hates the phrase pipe bomb, I'm going to keep dropping pipe bombs until y'all interact with me. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. Come at him. He's going to say things you don't like. I challenge you.
I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to stir the pot, daddy, until you come at me.
So yeah, speaking of Phil Brooks there, I guess that's what we'll be referring to him as from now on, because he signed with the UFC.
He signed with the UFC. We will now refer to him as Phil parentheses CM Punk Brooks, apparently.
Yeah, he's going to get those sponsors on his shorts.
Absolutely.
He wanted, yeah.
Absolutely. He can be just like Brock Lesnar.
What do you think about that? What do you, like?
What do I...
You probably like UFC more than I do. Like, I like it, but I'm not completely into it.
I'm honestly not as much of a hardcore fan as I used to be.
Right.
But I am a UFC fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think good luck to him. Yeah. I mean, and you know, people will say, well, you know, you're just saying that because you're a CM Punk fan. Well, exactly. You know. I wish the guy all the best. I'm not trying to be one of these ungrateful fans who forgets that, not including OVW, but just from his time in WWE
mm-hmm.
on, from the summer of 2006 to January 2014, so give or take a few weeks, he gave the WWE Universe 7.5 years, and absolutely, people seem to forget that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he was, whether he was hurt, whether he wasn't, whether he was a face, whether he was a heel, whether he was on top, whether he was buried in the mid card, whatever the case was,
mm-hmm.
he went out and gave 110% every time out. And some of these fans who have this "what have you done for me lately" type of attitude forget that, and all they want to do is verbally or figuratively shit on everything that he does and everything that he says, because I don't know why. They just do.
My favorite thing is, I mentioned it, but is that all these people that are UFC fans that immediately are like, oh, that guy's going to get murdered. This is a real sport. I don't even consider UFC a sport whatsoever. I really don't. Like, I mean, there's nothing like it that mixes pretty much any kind of fighting style. Like, you could be, you don't have to just be a jiu-jitsu guy. You don't just have to be like an amateur wrestling guy. Like, you could have like a bunch of backgrounds.
Right.
I don't really consider it a sport. I mean, it should be, I guess, but I don't really consider it. It's just dudes get inside and they beat the shit out of each other.
The thing
to me is, I think people are giving him the short end of the stick because he is from professional wrestling, which is scripted.
Right.
Sure, it's scripted, but these guys take ass whippings just the same for sometimes longer amounts. Even if a fight in UFC went a full 5 rounds,
mm-hmm.
sometimes these guys are in the ring throwing themselves around longer than those fights go.
Right. And my thing is, as much as I'm not a huge fan of the style, I respect it. I respect all fighting styles. As much as I'm not a huge fan of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is legit, man.
Yeah.
That shit is no joke.
I don't think any of that is pretend. I'm just saying I don't.
Right.
I don't really
consider
it a sport. I just consider guys going someplace and beating the shit out of each other.
To me, it's like a modern day like gladiator type thing. Like, it's totally like,
you know what I always think when I watch UFC, I always think of that movie Bloodsport, bro.
Exactly, dude. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I love it. I do actually enjoy watching UFC. Like, I'm not gonna pay $50 a pay-per-view, but when they have the free fights on Fox and the stuff on like Fox Sports Net, I watch that for sure. I love it. It's fun to watch.
Absolutely. And you know that. Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm going to suspend my opinion until I see his first fight.
Yeah.
If he comes out and holds his own and maybe loses by decision, then I'll be like, oh, well, maybe he's got to improve his game.
Well,
if he comes out and like whips some ass, then I'm going to be like, right on.
Hopefully. I mean, they're not going to do like Brock Lesnar. He's a big dude and right. He's very experienced in amateur wrestling. So they threw him right into the lion's den, right?
Right.
Obviously, they're not going to do that with him.
No.
He's been training. He's been training jiu-jitsu for a few years. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to decide to do UFC now with no kind of training at all. He trained with the Gracies. Been doing it for like what I want to say. They said like 6 years, 5-6 years. He's been training jiu-jitsu for 5-6 years. I mean, if you wanted to, like, he obviously has time to start training in other styles and stuff. But, I mean, I think that he could be successful, but I can't say for sure because I've never seen him actually fight. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's different It's totally different situation for him. It's not a Brock Lesnar situation or even a Batista situation or Bobby Lashley.
Right.
I think Batista's had a lot of training. And same with Lashley. Obviously, Lashley is another amateur wrestler, too. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, I guess there's just a lot of haters out there, and you know, I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, props to Kevin Gill, and I'm trying this whole PMA positive mental attitude thing.
Me too, man. Me too.
like it's just like, dude, give the guy a chance. Give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He's reaching out of his comfort zone to try something new. And try something that he says that he would have probably regretted if he didn't give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. The whole that what you were saying, the whole PMA thing, is really made me sour on people's comments about everything. It just it's like kind of shined a light when I go into like a where it's like, hey, what do you guys think of this? It'll be some subject, and every comment is like, well, I hate it. And give some stupid reason why they hate it. Or okay, let's use the CM Punk thing as an example. The first thing I saw when someone posted when like some kind of like name posted about him, what do you guys think of him being in UFC? Everyone. Oh, he's gonna get murdered. Oh, this is horrible for UFC. Blah 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 blah. Like the dude hasn't even set a foot in the ring yet. Like, how do you know this? And it's all people that I haven't even seen a fighter come out and say, like, what, Nate Diaz? Nate Diaz got his ass whipped last night.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz got murdered last night. So I don't want to hear what Nate Diaz has.
Was it Nate or Nick? Because Nick is the older brother. I think it was Nick who.
You think so? Who
tweeted, yeah.
Maybe it was because I know Nate Diaz fought last night. Which one's the big mouth?
Both.
Are they both big mouths?
Nate doesn't seem to talk as much as Nick does, it seems.
Okay. Well, one of those idiots. I wish it was the one that got his ass whipped. I don't know which one. I know one of them fought last night. Number 14. He's ranked number 14. Took a hefty beat down.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's usually pretty solid, too, Nate Diaz.
I forgot who he fought, dude, but it looked like a good fight. It wasn't like, I don't know. It looked like a good fight. I saw highlights. I didn't even know there was one on last night. It was a free thing on Fox. I want to say the main event had Dos Santos in it.
Okay.
I don't know who he was fighting either. So. I caught quick highlights. That's the thing. Like, I can't stand people's negativity towards something that hasn't even happened yet. I'm just like, good luck, dude. Good luck. That's all we can say right now.
Dude, like, what is he fighting now? Bellator, maybe? Bobby Lashley.
Bellator. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, he was doing the whole TNA Impact Wrestling thing, and then
they still want to do both.
Bellator is owned by Spike and the whole deal, and at the time, you know, TNA was on Spike, so they're like, yeah, we'll have him fight in Bellator, and I know he fought in other MMA organizations as well, but the same thing, dude, like. And I'm not really like a huge Bobby Lashley fan. I respect him because
not bad.
He's an ass kicker.
He's not bad.
But when Bobby Lashley decided that he wanted to try MMA or Batista or Brock Lesnar or any of those guys, I'm like, fuck yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like
me,
like expand your horizons, like don't. Don't pigeonhole yourself into like one thing, dude.
My cousin's huge into UFC. He absolutely hates the fact that Brock Lesnar was a part of it.
What is it? Delegitimized it or something?
I feel like a lot of people are like, if you like the UFC, you're too cool for professional wrestling, apparently. Yeah, I feel like a lot of these UFC fans have the meathead approach. They're like, oh, we don't do that fake stuff over here.
Okay, they need – send them to me.
But I feel like these people never watch pro wrestling in their life. So.
Send them to me, okay? Or tell them to go on YouTube and tell them to look at clips from UFC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where it was like dudes from all over – it was essentially like a tough man contest.
A 400-pound dude will fight a lightweight.
it was insane. So, what? Like, I don't understand –
This is the main thing I don't like, is it's mostly people who've never lifted a hand to reach for something on a cupboard shelf, trying to tell me that CM Punk's going to get murdered in the Octagon.
Like, here's the thing,
You
okay?
never even raised your fists.
Perfect
For
example.
Real.
Okay, perfect example, okay? It's kind of died down now. It's not as prevalent anymore. But 3, 4, 5 years ago, when everybody and their brother, sister, aunt, and uncle had a fucking Tap Out shirt on, okay? I mean, everybody was wearing Tap Out, okay?
Yep.
And it was like the douche in the club wears Tap Out, and he's never stepped foot in a gym or an MMA facility in his life. I took issue to that comment because I was like, look, granted, I've never fought, but that's my issue. But I trained in mixed martial arts for almost a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So you're goddamn right, I'm gonna wear a Tap Out shirt with pride, because
it's not like you're just some dude off the street who's like, oh, that's a cool shirt, I'm gonna buy it and wear it.
Right. And I put, you know, the old the old fucking BST blood, sweat, and tears into that shit. And there's many times I had, as you know, good old JR would say, the Crimson Mask. I mean, I had blood from forehead to chin, man, the whole 9 yards, you know. And
oh, lucky you.
Friggin' black eyes and the whole 9 yards. I mean, you can ask Crimson Jester, man. There was times I was fucked up.
A Crimson Mask?
You know.
You're a dick. All right. We spent way too much time talking about that.
So, to put a little bow on that.
Yeah, bow it up.
Good luck in your endeavor in the UFC, CM Punk, and Dizzo and I will definitely be pulling for you.
For sure. It's going to be interesting.
Absolutely.
That's all I can say about it right now. I don't know.
Looking forward to it.
I don't know how the dude fights. I haven't even seen a fucking CM Punk training video. So
we have nothing else to go on. Maybe in the future we'll YouTube some CM Punk grappling with Gracie stuff and look at that. But
why not?
You know.
I'm looking forward to I always like the hype videos when they have fights and they show like the hype videos, the two dudes talk shit to each other and then they show the guys training and shit like that. I always like those. Those are done very well.
I will say, after he's had a few fights, I know one of the guys that did tweet about CM Punk coming to UFC was the Count Michael Bisping, and after CM Punk gets a few fights under his belt, I wouldn't mind seeing Punk versus Bisping. That'd be a pretty cool fight.
Okay.
Well,
right now, dude, Bisping's got to go through the Green Ranger, okay? And as what I saw today, Jose Canseco wants to fight him. So, Bisping, get in line, bro.
Dude, that comment that I put on your status about Jose Canseco, that shit was classic, dude.
Dude, I want to fucking kill Jose Canseco.
Dude, I want to punch him in his face.
If I had a chance, I would take the shot.
Oh, my God. I would throw, like, something to distract him. So, you know, the 300 times a minute that he fucking blinks,
I'm coming in with – you distract him. I'm coming in with Thor's hammer, bro. I'm coming in with Mjolnir, and I'm smacking him right upside the temple.
Oh, my God.
I hate that guy. All right. Look. Now we're going off into all kinds of territories. Let's talk about wrestling.
So, I will say I hope the Green Ranger gets CM Punk so the Green Ranger can shut the fuck up. But that's another story for another day. Yes. Moving on.
All right. How about next takeover? I don't know why they call it this. Very weird. But our evolution.
Right. It's revolution or our evolution.
Yeah.
I see what you did there, NXT. I see what you did.
Put that big old R in a box and then wrote evolution.
All right. So dude, let's queue up.
You want to queue up that card, but I know the first match.
Yeah. You talk about the first match and we will queue up the card. Research and development will be on.
I know his name's CJ Parker, but I like to call him a hippie. So it was Kevin Owens. I can't call him that ever. Kevin Steen fought CJ Hippie Parker, hippie guy. Had his little sign to mock Kevin Steen. And Kevin Steen just
pretty much
the
murdered
bejesus
him
out of this man. And he had a pretty, what the hell was that setup? He had a setup move before he hit the finisher, and he had, I was like, this is interesting. I wonder what his finisher is going to be, because I know they're not going to use the package pile driver, obviously. So he hits a push-up power bomb.
Yeah, it was
which was pretty fucking sick.
Oh, the finisher itself, but yeah, he did the setup move was pretty cool too.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember what his setup move was, but his like push-up power bomb thing was awesome.
Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. Because the funny thing is, I watched everything on NXT TakeOver, our Evolution, except for the main event. But I know what happened after the main event. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yeah. I watched the first five matches up to that, and it's funny that the highlight package of the Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, and CJ Parker match. The highlight video was like 2.5 minutes, and the match itself was like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
I immediately knew when I was like, what are they doing? But then when I saw that CJ Parker guy come out, I'm like, oh, this is just like a show Kevin Steen skill set match, because that CJ Parker guy never gets any play on NXT. I watch it a lot. He never wins anything.
No, he's like the enhancement talent on NXT, if that's even possible.
They actually have a few of those guys. Like, I don't know why, but there's – I think I skipped a match on there, and it was a guy – I think his name was, like, Ty Dillinger
versus
a big guy.
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Ty Dillinger used to be Sean Spears.
Okay.
And Sean Spears, he used to wrestle in ESW a lot when I started going to that. He's more of a local guy. He's like right, he's from Canada, right? Like he's like right above us. Like there's a lot of those guys. Like you remember? I'm asking a lot of you here, but do you remember in TNA when ODB had like that white trash dude with her?
Uh huh.
Cody Deaner or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that guy was in ESW a lot too, and he had like a cool get. He had like a funny gimmick, like the white trash gimmick, sort of. That guy was fucking awesome. I can't believe they never did more with him anywhere else, dude. That guy was awesome. His character was great. So yeah, the Kevin Steen match. Yeah,
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it now, muted, and the highlight. I don't even know what to call it.
It's right before he hits the finisher.
His setup move. It's like,
I don't even know if it's a setup move. It's just cool.
It looks like it's going to start out as a brain buster. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, but is it when he does it and then it goes over his knee? Like the head hits the knee?
Yeah.
Like he lets him out like kind of like an F5 and then it hits the knee, the back of the neck?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now I remember. Yeah, that was really cool.
That was like super innovative. And
I thought that was the finisher at first.
Right? And then he did the drop down power bomb thing.
Yeah, that was really cool. And that like, I don't know, you can do it. That's the thing in 2K14. Mm-hmm. Like you can almost everybody hit their finisher by pushing them up in the air and like the RKO, like you could throw them into the ropes, push them up and then nail them midair with the RKO, or it's really weird. You'll never see the Undertaker do it, but you do the push up and then he catches him and gives him a tombstone.
Nice.
You'll never see that happen, but it's a cool feature on that. Like I was playing that game messing around with it.
Dude, what I hate about that game is when you're playing somebody and they do the counter when you're coming off the top rope and they do a counter on you.
Mm-hmm.
So like Randy Orton does an RKO. And, like, I don't know, you're trying to do, like, a, I don't know, like an elbow drop or something, and boom, you get RKO'd.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Then all of a sudden JR appears in the game, Easter egg, like, RKO out of nowhere.
Right. That would be awesome. I actually want to play 2K15, but I've heard mixed reviews about it.
I don't know. I might I'm definitely getting a PS4, so I might rent it. I don't think I'm gonna buy it.
No.
I'm gonna try to rent it from somewhere, like maybe a Redbox or something. Just rent it for like a day.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
What's the match after the
second match?
Well, yeah, you got that queued up, right?
I got the rundown queued up. The Lucha Dragons, Kalisto and Sin Cara.
They retained, right?
Yep.
They totally had no interest.
They defeated the Vaudevillians, Aiden English and Simon Gotch, who this is the first time I've really ever given NXT a decent look. The Vaudevillians, their gimmick is fucking cool, man.
Did you see the vignette, dude?
Yeah.
The vignette was dope.
Their gimmick is really fucking cool, the Vaudevillians, man.
I like the gimmick, and I like that stupid little movie they made, dude. with the old timey guy. Like, yeah. The Vaudevillians took the tag team championships. I love that shit.
It's definitely cool, man. For sure.
They probably just, they did that. I think they're going to keep that going. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of like the Lucha Dragons won, but I don't think that feud's over.
I think actually majority, don't quote me, but I think the majority, I was reading the spoilers for the NXT tapings for the next 4 weeks after this special episode, and it seemed like the majority of the feuds didn't stop, like they just kept on going, which
okay,
is kinda,
good.
It's kind of cool to see.
I like that. I like they don't fast track everything, you know.
Right, for sure, for sure.
Okay, what's the next one after that?
The next one was the Baron Corbin squash match.
That was over before I blinked and it was over, really.
Just murdering the shit out of Ty Dillinger.
And
like,
then that guy, like, was that Dempsey guy was outside watching the match?
Yeah, yeah.
Bull Dempsey?
Yeah, like there's just totally, like...
He had his Taz jacket on or whatever. Yeah, I saw him. I saw him out there in the crowd. That's all I saw.
There's totally going to be this weird, like... They're pushing Baron Corbin strong, man.
They're doing a great job, dude.
Super strong.
They know what they want to do with people, and they see that in NXT. It's nice because it seems like they know what they're doing. Like,
right.
They know who they're trying to highlight, and they know like what guys are like a little in the middle, and they pretty much have a couple guys like probably just came in. They're real rookies. They're like, okay, we'd feed these guys to the wolves for a little while, then maybe get a character idea. Because some of the guys just seems like they're real enhancement talent. Like, they just give them a stupid name, and they go out there and get their ass whipped. Kind of like, you know, Joe Jabroni from 1985.
Right.
Or Jack Foley.
Jim Smith.
I mean, and I'm sure those guys, if they come up with something for those guys are going to be used
right
at some point if they find the right thing for the right guy. But whatever. I like what they're doing.
Sometimes guys just need work. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You have to be in the ring and get experience, right?
Yeah.
So Baron Corbin murdered that dude in like 1 minute, 11 seconds or whatever. I don't know.
Official time, 41 seconds. Which
was 41 seconds. Wow.
His like longest match. Like they... Yeah. That was the weirdest thing. Like, they made it a point to be like, oh, well, he hasn't had a match over 24 seconds or something. And then, like, the whole gimmick is, like, the crowd is counting one.
Oh, yeah. They were counting. Like, 16, 7. I'm like, because he was hitting them with chops. And I'm like, they're still counting. He's done chopping. And then I, like, listened to the announcers because I kind of walked in and out on that.
Right.
But I got it. Yeah, that's funny, though. What's after that? Was it the women's match?
No, the next one was Finn Balor.
Finn Balor,
aka Prince Devitt, and Hideo Itami, aka Kenta Kobayashi. I think that's his original name, right?
Yeah, Kenta. It was just like Kenta. I don't
Kenta
know
Kobayashi defeated the Ascension, Connor and Victor, that's the weird thing I don't really get is apparently they're grooming the Ascension to be called up to SmackDown because there was a SmackDown on SmackDown this past week there was a 1 minute preview video with the Ascension, like, oh, we're Victor and Connor and blah blah blah.
Guys are so awesome, actually.
So I don't know why. No, they're sick. They're beasts. But mm-hmm. I don't know why mm-hmm. they would have them job at this NXT special then.
If they're well, that's gonna... kind of like, I don't know. That's kind of their thing. Like they call Bo Dallas that they jobbed him.
Yeah.
They literally jobbed him out. Like they're like, if you lose, you leave.
Yeah.
They did that to him, and then like. I don't know. They do that to the guys they call up. Like they start, they'll lose their last couple matches or whatever. They'll have like a big last match, and they'll be like, oh, and then they'll either disappear or some kind of stipulation, and then they get called up.
Right.
Like, I noticed that with Bo Dallas.
I hope when they bring the Ascension up, that they just when they bring them up to SmackDown, they just have them run roughshod through people.
At least
initially, just like.
I also hope they don't win the tag titles the first day they debut or what. I hate when they do shit like that. Like, fucking Santino. They pull them out of the crowd. They're like, you're the IC title.
Yeah, I'd say let them build up to a title, but I'd say like have them come in and just annihilate.
Oh, those guys can do that. Teams.
Like have them like have them be like this Road Warriors / Demolition.
Mm-hmm.
/ Powers of Pain hybrid and just mm-hmm. like annihilate teams, lay everybody in their wake, and like not even like have the team geared so that the tag titles are their goal, but they just want to make a statement first. That's what I hope.
What I like, I feel like they have some pretty cool tag teams in NXT, and I feel like that they could rebuild the tag division in WWE with some of these. Those vaudeville villain dudes.
Yeah.
Those guys would be awesome. Lucha Dragons, I mean, Primo and Epico, watch out for your jobs. It's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, you know, honestly, it's like, it's like, I feel like they threw Sin Cara, the second Sin Cara, in a team with Kalisto because they really had nothing else for him. They wanted to keep the character.
Originally a team, one of those guys was Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, El Locale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Ricardo, peace out. The hell was that match? What was that match we were talking about? I'm sorry.
Which one?
The match we were just discussing. Oh, the Ascension and Ascension, okay, dude, we didn't even talk about it. We just said their names and went off.
Yeah, we're going back. That match was sick, man.
How about that entrance, bro?
Finn Balor's entrance,
dude,
pretty insane.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. I liked it very much,
dude. It was really cool. Like, those two guys are stars.
Yeah.
All four of those guys in the ring are going to be stars. Like, the Ascension, they're obviously, you're saying, they got a little video and they're calling them up. So, the Ascension are going to be, I don't know, they were playing their characters a little weird on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
They just, if they wrestle like that, dude, they're stars.
Yeah.
Finn Balor is a star. Itami's a star. Or Kenta and Prince Devitt. They're going to be stars. Like, I feel like they're grabbing the right people off the indie scene.
Right.
And it's going to show soon. It's going to show soon.
Right.
Slowly but surely, WWE, look at tonight. Who did they give the main event to?
Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt.
Slowly it's going to be better. Once you get rid of Superman and fucking, what, I mean, they're getting rid of Superman. They're grooming Superman number two.
Roman Reigns.
It really fucking pissed me off. We'll talk about it later.
But, we'll talk about it later on. So stay tuned.
But yeah, they won. With a Baylor and a Tommy won, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the double foot stomp.
Yeah. Oh, that's. I just love that move. I always wonder how they pull that off without killing someone.
Exactly, right? Like,
I the one I the one I used to the one I cringe at is when Loki used to do it off the top rope and just straight up land feet first on the chest.
right? Like,
Like,
that's
how did they
gotta
pull that off without hurting someone really bad? I mean,
hurt your sternum.
straight up, yeah. So is the women's match after this?
It
I really
is
want to talk about that.
Charlotte and Sasha Banks
I
is up
usually never
first.
want to talk about a women's match, but this was this is how women's wrestling should be.
Right.
Okay, yes, you have tits and an ass, that's cute and everything, but can you wrestle? Can you fill more than 30 seconds on a Raw? These two girls can. They I would say that Baylor and Tommy tag team, the last match, I'm gonna go last match, Baylor and Tommy, and then this would be the third best match on the fucking card.
Okay.
Okay? They wrestled. It was amazing. I don't know if I've seen two women wrestle that well.
You know who I'll say, like one of the other NXT divas that, and I don't even know why, but I'm sweet on dude. I
I
have
already
like this
know.
weird NXT diva crush on Bailey, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Dude, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I see her and
Me too. So weird.
I'm like, oh my God, she's so cute. Oh my God. I've never probably ever even talked to her in my entire life, but
Same.
I can observe from afar.
It's a side pony, man. That's what it is.
Must be, man.
Oh, it's just there is. I know what you're saying. There is something about her for sure.
But going back to this match was pretty solid, and I liked the whole, the whole backstory. Like they were
You?
former tag team
Yeah, they're like a group. They're like a crew or whatever.
mates, I guess you could say, and then Sasha Banks giving insult to injury by wearing Charlotte's shirt, but amending it to what she wanted it to say.
Yeah,
Like, it was old
that
school
was cool,
stuff,
right? It
man.
was very cool.
Was super cool.
That was very cool, man.
It was definitely a solid match.
And the match, yeah, the match was bananas. It was very good. Was after that?
The main
Was that?
event?
Oh, nice. These two guys, when they go up to the main roster, there's be a huge hole left in that show, dude.
Yeah, I d actually I
These
still need to watch this main event. I will definitely make it a priority to watch it. I watched the first five matches.
two guys are two of the most amazing dudes I've ever, and I've seen, well, I've really never seen Adrian Neville or Pac wrestle before NXT, but I have seen Sami Zayn wrestle. And it's nice that they let him they let him keep a lot of the stuff that he did.
As El
Look, yeah,
Generico?
like
Olay!
dude, he does that thing where he dives where he's on the outside, dives through the middle ropes and catches you with the DDT. You
What?
ever seen that?
No, I've
Yeah,
not.
it's in that match, so you should probably watch that fucking main event, pal.
I am. I'm on it, man. I'm
Dude,
on it.
it was an incredible match. Super fucking dope, dude.
Yeah.
Insanity. And then so Sami Zayn wins the belt. Then the whole next roster comes out, puts him up on the shoulders, got confetti coming down, he won the belt. Woo, everybody. Then it was kind of weird. Like they were showing the logo, like, okay, we'll see you guys later, and here comes Kevin Steen. Come down, like, oh, that's cute, you know. Like they give the whole backstory, like, oh, his vignettes are like, you know, everybody that's here are my friends, everybody that's already here are my friends, and now I'm here, and so it gives like a backstory of him, you know, he knows who a few of those guys are, like Zayn, Neville, Kenta, and so. He comes out and they're like, oh yeah, you know, building on the background that they're buddies. He comes out, gives them a little hug, and they have a little, you know, whisper in the ear. And then fucking Steen goes nuts.
Just beats the shit out of him.
He gave him that push up power bomb and he landed him neck first on the apron, dude.
What?
Yeah. And then that's... I watched a video later. It was like on Facebook or something. It was like after the show went off the air, they stretchered Zayn out.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really. Dude, this is like, I remember when Generico and Steen, like, they were a tag team and they broke up because Steen snapped and just started beating the shit out of them. Dude, that was a sweet fucking feud, dude.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like,
the coolest thing about it was that Generico is a Canadian ginger and he was a Canadian Mexican lucha, and whenever he got interviewed, the only thing he would say was "Olé." And like somebody asked him a question, he'd answer with a question, be like "Olé, Olé, Olé, Olé." So good, dude.
Hell yeah.
Those guys are gonna be stars, dude. I swear, and I might actually love wrestling again. This show is making me – I enjoy this more than this pay-per-view tonight. Raw in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I really – like, I gave a shit about the matches. And I don't even – I hardly watch NXT.
Right.
But I'm going to watch it now.
Yeah, I probably should watch it more than I do, to be honest with you. You know, it's definitely – the future, you know, at least the future of the WWE, you know, as is concerned. So, you know, we'll see, and you know, good luck to what Kevin Steen.
Yeah, don't call him that other name. I don't want to hear it.
Kevin Owens and El Generico, Sami Zayn, you know, are going to be doing going forward. I'm looking forward to it. It says a lot to me about Steen's reputation on the indie scene and at Ring of Honor that they're hot shotting him up to the top of NXT. Like,
yeah, I didn't think, like, I was like, oh cool, we got like a little enhancement match right in the beginning. I didn't think he was going to be a big part of like the end. It did kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, you kind of felt it was going to happen, but you didn't know.
Now, my question is, are they going to have Finn Balor and Hideo Itami start feuding with each other at some point?
I don't but I think they're going to get a rematch out of this one.
Yeah.
I feel like there will be a rematch.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll move it on. I don't know.
I don't know if it would be one of those weird like face versus face matches, or it'd be like maybe Baylor turns heel on him or something, or I don't know.
I like what they do with I was like, what are they doing with Sami Zayn? Like,
yeah,
just the fucking fanboy in me is always like, that dude should have the belt immediately,
right?
Best guy there. And then I kind of watched it and I'm like, oh, I see what they did there. Like, they made him into the guy that, like, everybody was like, oh, you know, you're in all these championship matches. Like, you're great. You beat a lot of people, but you can't win the big one. And they drew that out for quite some time. And then finally, on our Evolution or whatever, he won the belt.
Right.
And even in the match, the psychology was like, at one point, Neville brought the belt in when the ref bumped and tried to hit Zayn with it and didn't work out, so then Zayn picked up the belt while the ref was bumped, and he was like fighting with himself, like the crowd's like, don't do it, man, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do it, should I do it, and he was like fighting and just like wasting time, I guess, I don't know, but he just he had a lot of bleeps because he was swearing at it. He was like, no, fuck this shit.
Zayn was
like,
really?
He was like arguing with himself, and he was like, fuck this shit, motherfucker. And blah, blah. Then he like ended up throwing the belt down and not using it. It was a couple times where like he was second guessing himself, and it would get him into a situation like when he was second guessing himself about hitting him with the belt. That allowed the ref kind of came alive as he threw the belt down, and then Neville rolled him up.
Okay.
Like, there was a couple times in the match where he was like, son of a bitch, blah, blah, or the ref took a bump earlier, and Zane immediately was like, went to go check and see if the ref was okay. Like, hey, man, you all right? Like, trying to wake him up. Uh-huh. And then, like, Neville took advantage of that.
Oh, wow.
Dude, Neville does, like, this sick fucking Hurricane Rana, but it's, like, backwards.
Really?
Where he, like, Hurricane Rana's you from behind. So it looks like he locks his legs around you and flips you over into, like, a DDT with his legs. Instead of, like, instead of front ways flipping you over. He gets up, he jumps up and locks legs around from the back and flips. And then your body goes from back to front and your head just hits the mat like a DDT, but using your legs.
What?
Yeah, you gotta watch that match. You gotta watch that match, dude.
I'm gonna check it out for sure. Yeah, for sure. Check it out for sure.
So what do we got next? We got this month in wrestling history.
This month in wrestling history.
All right, start it up. I'm gonna go grab a drink.
All right, let's hop in the Wayback Machine, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. And let's go back to December 28th, 1997. The Monday Night Wars between WWE, WWF at the time, and WCW are in full effect. Sunday, December 28th, 1997 was probably, during the Monday Night Wars, one of the most important, if not important, WCW pay-per-views. You had a build of over a year. You had a build of over a year with Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan, and Sting. I mean, after, I think what was it? The Nitro after Fall Brawl 1996 for over a year, Sting didn't fight anybody. He just occasionally would come down and either give guys the Scorpion Death Drop or he would beat the crap out of them with a bat.
Quiet Sting.
Really quiet Sting, like not cutting promos, not doing anything like that. And then finally, it kept building and building and building and building. And then finally, Sting and Hogan for the WCW Championship. Mm-hmm. But in the undercard leading up to that, we'll just go through it real quick. Eddie Guerrero defeated Dean Malenko in the opening match for the Cruiserweight title. There was a six-man tag of Scott Norton, Vincent, who's known by 20 different names.
The guy that sits alone at every convention.
Yeah. Yeah, and Randy Macho Man Savage defeated the Steiner Brothers and Ray Traylor, a.k.a. the Big Boss Man, and a bunch of other names. In the third match, Bill Goldberg defeated Steve Mongo McMichael. In the fourth match, Saturn defeated Chris Benoit in a Ravens Rules match. Let me see. Buff Bagwell defeated Lex Luger. Diamond Dallas Page defeated Kurt Hennig, a.k.a. Mr. Perfect, in a WCW U.S. title match. Larry Zbysko defeated Eric Bischoff by disqualification for...
The hell was it?
That was the stipulation match where if Bischoff won, he would get complete control of WCW Monday Night Show.
Yeah,
Zbysko
yeah.
won, he would face Scott Hall at Sold Out.
Yes.
That was the one where it was kind of a hokey finish, and Bret Hart came out and awarded the match to Larry Zbysko.
Well, I don't know why I didn't know this, but apparently the outcome of the Hogan and Sting match was created to mimic the Montreal Screwjob.
Because I know 2 years later it kind of was with in one of Bret Hart's last matches when he fought Goldberg at Starrcade 99.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the same deal. Definitely. That was kind of the same deal. So yeah, that was kind of a hokey he's kind of a hokey finish. Bret Hart just kind of awarded the bout to Larry Zbysko.
Yeah.
Due to, well, no reason in particular, according to the 10th anniversary Death of WCW book. And then, of course, the main event, Sting defeated Hollywood Hogan. And the match was allegedly restarted by Bret Hart due to a alleged fast count by official referee Nick Patrick.
Nick Patrick.
Yeah.
The NWO ref.
The NWO ref. So I'm going to read a passage from the 10th anniversary Death of WCW book, which you can find at all your favorite retailers and on Amazon.com. I'm sure Kindle, Google Books, whatever the Apple iOS books e-reader deal is, you can find it anywhere. So it says, it could, of course, be argued that all of the goofiness on the show really didn't matter, alluding to Starrcade 1997, because at the end of the day, the fans were really there to see the match WCW had been building for over a year, Sting versus Hogan. Sure, those fans may have been let down by the evening's proceedings, and maybe they'd even lost some faith in WCW, but it didn't matter, because now, finally, Hulk Hogan would get his ass kicked by Sting. However, this being Hogan, that didn't happen. Hogan strutted down the ramp in his usual cocky manner, playing his air guitar, and eventually ambling over to confer with Nick Patrick, the evil referee assigned to the bout. The two chatted for a moment in a manner far removed from the standard overt pantomimes of the wrestling business. In fact, it almost looked as though Hogan and Patrick were double-checking to make sure they had certain spots laid out within the match itself. Weird. After having descended from the rafters in a breathtaking manner for the better part of the past 18 months, this time Sting simply walked down the aisle, stopping to glance at the crowd momentarily, then resuming his journey. He then slowly climbed into the ring. It was as if this were just another run-of-the-mill match on another run-of-the-mill show. Nick Patrick stood between the men and explained the rules. Hogan and Sting locked eyes, and then it happened. Hogan shoved Sting. Sting responded by slapping Hogan in the face. It was on. Hogan slowly circled Sting, and the two locked up. The crowd came to life, chanting, "Hogan sucks." It was obvious they were desperate to see the Stinger KO this arrogant asshole once and for all. And the crowd kept waiting for that to happen, and waiting, and waiting. It never happened. In fact, Hogan began to dominate the bout, with Sting only scoring a few minor moves here and there. A headlock spot was worked for over 2 minutes as the life began to drain from the crowd. Hogan took Sting outside the ring and worked him over, throwing him into the guardrail and then choking him out with his boot. He threw Sting back in, cupped his hand to his ear as he had done so often in his career, and bounced off the ropes, landing his signature finishing move, the leg drop of doom. Hogan covered Sting. Patrick dropped down and started his count. 1, 2, 3. Sting didn't kick out. No, he did not kick out. The man who had stalked Hogan and his evil band for over a year had just failed miserably in a match 1 year in the making. Patrick raised Hogan's arm in victory as the once rabid crowd sat in stunned silence. The WCW announcers scrambled for an explanation. They claimed that Patrick had issued a fast count and that Sting hadn't really lost. Problem was, it wasn't a fast count. For years, it has been debated what happened in this match. How can you screw up the biggest spot of your career? The pivotal fast count in the biggest match in the history of WCW. Mm-hmm. How did Patrick just forget? Did he get a double top secret payoff from Hogan to do a normal count so as to not to make Hogan look bad? What happened? For whatever it's worth, Patrick's claim was, get this, that although in hindsight it was a perfectly normal three count, at the time he thought he was counting really fast.
Right.
Yup.
Was he on drugs during the match?
Or? Following the Phantom Fast count and the perfectly clean defeat of Sting at the hands of Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart ran down to ringside and grabbed the ring announcer. Over a muffled house mic, Bret claimed, "This isn't going to happen again," in reference to the infamous Montreal finish where he himself had been screwed out of the WWF title. Mm-hmm. Most in the crowd didn't even hear what Hart had said, and they looked angry and confused. And Sting, the savior of WCW, was still flat on his back in the ring. After a brief skirmish, Hart flattened Patrick and tossed Hogan back into Sting, who had finally come back to life. Sting nailed Hogan with a Stinger splash, then he locked on his finishing maneuver, the dreaded Scorpion Deathlock. The crowd waited for Hogan's hand to slap the mat, the so-called tap out that would signal his submission. It didn't come, and instead, Bret Hart told the timekeeper to ring the bell, the story being that Hogan had said, "I quit," a fact that no microphones picked up. The belt was awarded to Sting as WCW wrestlers filled the ring in a joyous celebration. As the wrestlers and fans celebrated, so did Bischoff. All his hard work, all his patience, it had all paid off big time. Starrcade 97 was without question the biggest moneymaker WCW had ever produced. 17,500 fans, a $543,000 gate, an incredible 1.9 buy rate, meaning nearly $6 million in revenue, and the beginning of the end.
Oh, absolutely. What I don't get is Bret Hart came out and said, "This isn't going to happen again," and he essentially did the screw job.
Right. So whether it was Hogan having creative control and not wanting to look bad, whether it was Sting not kicking out at the last second, whether it was Nick Patrick botching the count, whether it was a mixture of all three, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how they fucked up the
most important match
in WCW.
I mean, they did have that match. It was a first blood match with, what is it, Hogan and Flair, and somebody, and Flair got busted open, and then they were like, "Oh, no, it's not over." Remember that?
Yeah.
I talk about that like every week, I feel like.
Yeah, that's in
the worst thing I've ever seen.
They covered that in the book as well.
I do remember.
Uncensored 1999?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure that I ordered that Starrcade because, you know, like many people, that was the biggest thing. The biggest thing. WWF was off the radar for me. I did not care. It was huge. What that book said, it being the biggest match in their history, how they had all the pay-per-view buys, the big gate. People, they built that for so long, people wanted to see that, and they fucked it up horribly. I remember buying that and being completely confused at the end.
Yeah, it was super rushed. It made absolutely no sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
That's this month in pro wrestling history.
Yeah, buddy.
December 1997, Starrcade, which you can watch in its entirety on the WWE Network for only $9.99 a month.
Yeah, $9.99, guys. It's a...
Or you can watch it on YouTube. I'm sure there's parts of it on YouTube.
All that old, all that old stuff for sure. So now on to the main attraction. This
all leads up to WWE tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. Can't forget stairs.
So mad they changed that name. It's so stupid.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Whatever. But anyway.
And the kicker at the same time was Michael Cole mentioning multiple times throughout the pay-per-view, tables are TLC and chairs. No, Michael.
It's no, stairs. Michael.
It's stairs.
When do they fire that guy? When do they
Did you have a few extra cocktails, Michael Cole? Or are you just really tired? Or what's the deal, brother?
Where's Renee Young?
Oh, Renee Young.
Let's put Renee Young in the place of Michael Cole. She doesn't flub lines.
No.
She's not horrible like Michael Cole.
I almost wonder if he's, you know, horrible on purpose or on accident.
I don't know. I used to give him the benefit of the doubt, like, when they started throwing him on commentary. I thought maybe somebody was yelling at him in a headset and he was just nervous. But he does it all the time.
Hey, you know, Corey Graves is an NXT commentator now. Maybe he can take Michael Cole's job.
Ugh, Corey Graves. I feel bad for that guy. He was actually...
Oh, yeah, man.
He's pretty entertaining on NXT. He was very entertaining, actually.
Bunch of concussions, man. That's gotta suck. You're told, I'm sorry, what you love, you can no longer do.
One in however many people, you know, have that Troy Aikman syndrome or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Troy Aikman had a lot of concussions too.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess, I don't know. It's like floodgates open after you have one, you have like 800. You only take so much, I guess. I mean, it's good.
Right.
It's nice of them to keep him around, you know.
Absolutely, you know, give him a 2-year contract to get him, you know, some sort of money, and I'm sure he can provide that insight having been in the ring. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody.
It's really cool.
In the ring. I mean, they could have had Barry Horowitz be a commentator. Yeah. He's our logo man now, by the way.
Good old Barry Horowitz.
I know you like that. I know you like.
Hell yeah,
that.
Man. I remember watching him on Global Wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you know what? I realized I was going through the guide yesterday of cable. I don't get that channel, ESPN Classic, and Global was on.
Global was on?
Yeah, I clicked it. I clicked it, and it was like, you do not get this station. I'm like, yeah, no!
I don't get it either, man. I don't get it either.
Yeah, I noticed I didn't. I wasn't really concerned, but it did suck because I was going to watch it. And I'm like,
man, because, dude, it was like, oh, my God, Global Wrestling was like.
I still love watching that after school when I got home.
I mean, you know, it wasn't just Del Wilkes, the Patriot. It wasn't just Eddie Gilbert. It wasn't just the handsome stranger, you know, Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
It's all about 123 Kid and
123 Kid,
Lightning Kid, and Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn, Ebony Experience, Harlem Heat,
JEFFJRRERT.
Was he in Global? I don't know.
He was.
I know he was in USWA. I know.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Jerry Lawler
mixed up very frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was there for something. I don't know, but the only thing I remember is a lot of 123 Kid or Lightning Kid and Jerry Lynn matches. I saw that.
And I know they even in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, they would show a lot of AWA stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I remember.
Classic.
They played a lot of AWA.
Yeah.
So TLC 2014 or TLCS.
Right. Oh my God.
Our first match, Dolph Ziggler and Luke Harper. And I don't care about the pre-show.
Yeah.
It's just that shitty New Day gimmick, whatever the hell they're doing. We're happy. We're using the Freebird. We're using the Freebird tag team method.
Right.
You don't know which two of us you go face.
In any case, they went over on Goldust and Stardust.
Yeah.
Yawn. Dolph Ziggler defeated Luke Harper in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, which
they were the only two guys that got the apparently were like, we need to step it up after watching NXT Our Evolution.
Right. I mean, my whole thing though is why do they continually hot potato the IC title? It's back and forth constantly between guys. I don't understand.
I feel like they use it. They try to use it so much as like some kind of like thing against somebody else. Like they took it off Ziggler to be like, oh wow, Luke Harper just won that off Ziggler, to use that as like a catalyst for SummerSlam, right? But then SummerSlam's over. They did their thing with SummerSlam. Now let's put the belt back on Dolph.
Survivor Series.
Like before Survivor Series, that's when Luke Harper won that belt. And I felt that was like a catalyst to involve them both in the Survivor Series on opposite teams.
Right, like an underlying storyline.
Yeah, I gotcha. And then they're like, okay, that's over now. Let's give it back to Dolph. Because now we're pushing Dolph. Because I feel like they decide this shit like 5 minutes before each match.
Absolutely. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we're not really sure if we're going to push Dolph Ziggler. Oh, we want to push him all of a sudden. How about that?
Oh, we want to push him? Okay, all right. But, dude, that was an awesome match.
That match was sick.
It was absolutely really awesome. Both those guys, as you can see by their bodies after that match, and even pretty much during, they put it all out there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then the next match was the Usos defeated The Miz and Damian Mizdow by disqualification. Kind of a hokey finish.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
I will say props to – I'm not sure which one of them – but props to one of the Usos trying a Tequila Sunrise submission. That was nice, right? I saw him hook the arm, and I was like, "Dude, is he going for a Tequila Sunrise?" I was like, "Fuck yeah!" Props to Conan, man. Tequila Sunrise.
back to that Dolph Ziggler Luke Harper joint. Dude, that wheelbarrow. Where you like, you see where you put the ladder on top of him and then try, you know, they like, what is it? I'm so weird right now. It's like 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
You like hooked him on the ladder.
Slingshot into the ropes.
Into the ropes. Dude, that was awesome.
That was definitely innovative for sure.
That was, okay. All right. That's all. I just wanted to get that out of there.
No, I got you.
There was like 800 things in that match, but that was one
that,
of the
no,
most,
no,
if, it was if, one of the most unique things I've ever seen done with a ladder.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't watch anything, if for some reason you're in protest and you don't have the network, but you want to see some match highlights on YouTube, give it a couple days, go on YouTube and watch the Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper ladder match.
It was very cool.
It's super solid. It's definitely a good match.
So yeah, that Usos and Mizdow thing, like that ended very quickly. Like whatever, I guess they're going to keep that one going.
Yeah. It was a hokey finish, I think, to keep it going.
I did like instead of getting in the ring and breaking up the count, that when somebody rolled Miz up, Damian Sandow was on the apron acting like he was rolled up too. I love that, dude. That's so good.
I love when they did the suplex and he got in the ring and went to the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's so awesome.
Did a handstand in the corner.
So good, dude. I love him, dude. And you know what's funny? He's gonna be a star at Miz's expense. That's what makes
it even
harder.
He is, man. He needs to. That's the thing, man. I think he needs to eventually let this play out. But like when he
you
comes
see how
out
it's
of this,
going, though. You see how it's going, right?
When he comes out of this, man, they need to hotshot him pretty close to the top because he's
you see where it's going, though. Like Miz is obviously the heel, and he's gonna be the face.
Because they're gonna push it to where he's like taking the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then Miz is going to get pissed off and turn on him, kind of like he did with Alex Riley.
Yeah. Who apparently wants to wrestle again.
Yeah. So,
Free Riley.
Free Riley, huh?
Hashtag
Free Riley.
Fucking horrible. All right, the next match was Rowan and Show, right?
Rowan and Show in the fucking steel stairs match.
God, this was a piece of shit. Granted,
this match gave shitty matches a bad name.
Well, granted, they did try to do some cool stuff with the stairs, I guess. But like, if he would have came off the top and with the stairs and connected to Show's face, it would have been actually pretty cool. Yeah. Where that the part where they had the stairs like all stacked together like Tetris and they threw them through it, that was pretty cool. But I don't know if it's a bad match as much as I just hate Big Show. Why? Why does he keep going over?
You do. You hate Big Show, and I try to be.
I never liked that dude. Never, not one time.
I try to be the yin to the yang. Like, you hate Big Show, and I'm like, well, he's not so bad. He's a big guy. He can only do so many things. And you're like, fuck Big Show.
You're like, I love Paul White.
I'm no, like, Paul you White's know
that
not
time
bad.
He debuted in WWF and he threw Stone Cold through the cage. That was really cool. I hated every second of it. I hated when he had his little tight ponytail and he was a tag team with The Undertaker. I hated when he was pretending to be Andre the Giant's son. I hate every fucking thing. Everything. Just hate that guy.
Hashtag fuck that dude.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know why. I can't explain. Seems like a cool guy. Whatever.
Right? I mean,
I think it's pretty sick when he does that knockout punch thing. But, I mean, that's all he should come out and do is just blast someone in the temple. All right?
Now did he, like, connect too low? Because it looked like he tried the knockout punch with Rowan in the neck.
I don't know. Like, I don't want him to kill anybody.
Right,
big clumsy doofus. I'm not a big guy. I don't like big dudes in the ring. Like, dude, if you told me a pay-per-view main event was Kali and Big Show, I would fucking cry, and I would smash my TV over my own head. I cannot stand, like, they can't move. He does nothing. Like, really, like, he just does nothing. Does nothing. What does he do for you? Please tell me. Please be the yin and tell me how great Big Show is.
I think he is able to adapt and work well with what he has.
Okay.
In some cases.
I agree with that.
My biggest gripe with Big Show is even more to a degree than with Mark Henry, because Mark Henry's heel and face turns seem to go for 6, 8, 10 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show's face and heel turns go like 2-3 months tops, man. Like, you can't keep track. Like, you can't watch WWE and then, I don't know, for some reason not watch for 6 months and go back and know what side of the fence Big Show's going to be on. It's kind of stupid.
Here's my real deal. I'll be real about it. I made a lot of jokes right there. Okay? But my real deal is that dude is huge. Okay?
Absolutely.
And once you pussyfy him, once you have him cracking jokes, and once you have him lose to, like, bullshit people,
right?
He's not believable.
Same thing with Kane.
Yes.
Kane.
Absolutely. Like, Kane put the mask back on, which people were like, whoa, put the mask back on Kane. It's over. Right. It's all over. No one gives a shit about Kane.
No.
After Sangin, it was over. Okay, I'll go that far back. It was over.
Okay.
Let's try to make a fucking practical joker out of Kane. The big red retard.
When he did the whole Kane-a-Rooney and the Canaanites and all that stuff.
All that stuff, dude. All that stuff. Like, I don't take Kane seriously, even if he goes back to being, you know, I hate to say this because it's been said millions of times, the Demon Kane. You can't go back, dude. There's no going back now.
Right.
I like Kane.
Right. I think that was super rushed. Back in 2003 when they had his match against Triple H for, I think it was title versus mask. They really didn't build that to any length. It was just kind of rushed.
I thought it was cool the way he came out of it. He just went nuts and started murdering everybody because he had to take his mask off. And he did look super weird. So
he had
that going for him.
Right.
But after that,
yeah,
he almost could have went back right there. But there's no going back after whatever they were doing after that. I don't remember.
Right. And then they went
real shaky, and then he became a comedian.
They went to this weird, like, deal where he had,
Is that when he hooked up the battery? Is that when he hooked the battery to Shane McMahon's balls?
Yeah, I believe so. Didn't he put the mask back on after the whole Team Hell No deal? And like he had like that.
I feel like he had it on before that because
he had that steel mask thing, and he was doing that whole embrace the hate thing with John Cena.
That was before Team Hell No, I want to say.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say it was before, but still, man, you can't go back, dude.
Whatever the case is, there's
a point with guys like that where you push it very far in a different direction, you can't go back.
It was like, you know, it's Demon Kane.
That's now. Now it's Corporate Kane.
Yeah.
He was a demon and then all of a sudden became corporate. Like, how do you get a guy from hell to chill out? Why don't you give him a shirt and a tie?
Right.
Now he's happy.
He kind of looks at his mask and he's like, oh, the mask.
And he wrestles in fucking suit pants.
The mask possesses all the power. Like, what the fuck?
Now he fucking wrestles in suit pants.
He wrestles in Dockers.
Fucking him and Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble, they go to the same store and they buy pants. That's what they wrestle in.
Except Kane goes to the big and tall section. Men's Warehouse, big and tall.
Oh, shit. XL. That's a commercial I hear on the radio now.
Right.
They try to make being a fat guy cool. Like, go to XL.
Oh, yeah.
It can't even be like a big and tall anymore. Now it's XL.
Right. I get to pay $50 for a pair of pants the same regular guy pays 30 for it.
Why don't you just go to Burlington Coat Factory? They don't discriminate against you.
Right.
They have a section for you where all they have is like 8X when you just need 2.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking at Kane's Wikipedia. I guess it was the remasking and then Team Hell No.
Yeah, it was, so he did the whole welder's mask thing first?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so then it was Embrace the Hate first, then Team Hell No, right?
Right.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's what I figured. Jesus, we are so far away. So, no, Rowan and Show, oh, Big Show went over, and that really pissed me off. Like, what benefit? Where is the benefit?
And he had to pile the steel stairs on top of Rowan in order to get the pin, really.
He, like, sat on top of some stairs over his neck to pin him. Retarded.
Fucking stupid.
This is what I don't get about the chairs match or the stairs match. Like, okay, what is this? There's no stipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Just smack each other around with the weapon and then pin them.
Stellar job, guys. Keep it up.
Okay, well, you know, the pay-per-view took a shit for the next couple matches. And then,
of course,
this was a borderline shit, but I still enjoyed it. Cena Rollins. I liked it. It was a good match.
Man, that shit was the clusterfuck of all clusterfucks.
Yeah, there was a lot of outside stuff going on.
Oh, my God, man. Like, okay, so here's the deal.
Those guys play the Stooges well, though. I like it.
Here's the deal. Like, okay. The thing I don't get is it's like the writers sit there in the back and they go, okay, how big of a hill, or not even a hill, because a mountain's much fucking higher than a hill. No shit, Dan. How big of a mountain can we have Super Cena climb in this match?
Let's just be real. He didn't climb shit.
Because
everybody else climbed it for him, bro.
They put fucking obstacle in front of obstacle in front of obstacle in front of fucking Cena. And it's, as a fan and a former Cena fan, and once again, listeners, I try my best to separate Cena the guy versus Cena the wrestler or the character. as a former fan of Cena the character, it's exhausting seeing all the bullshit that they have him rise above and conquer. It's fucking stupid. It's dumb.
So, yeah. So, you know, he came out in his little fucking jizz towel. Gonna hold that up high. Ran down the ring in his... Ran down
does
the
he
ring.
Still wear, does he still wear a Cena dookie chain?
No dookie chain, just a jizz towel. Has to show that to everybody. Then run down to the ring in his finest of Fruity Pebbles colors.
He had the Hulk Hogan red and yellow, brother.
I'm not gonna lie. I liked the match. Noble and Mercury play some pretty fine fucking stooges.
They do. They do.
I feel like somebody was like, okay, we're gonna send Roman Reigns out there as a surprise. But first, you have to make Cena look like Superman on roids.
Again?
Again and again and again. Then my problem was he did that double AA with fucking Mercury and Noble on his back. And these motherfuckers act like that never happened before.
But it happens multiple times a fucking year.
Yeah, I remember this one that was way more impressive. I feel like it's like Edge and Big Show. Yeah, it's a little more impressive.
Right.
Little more impressive, bro. Aside from two cruiserweights on your back. Good job.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying I could put two cruiserweights on my back, but I'm saying I'm just saying I've seen with my eyeballs more impressive AA. But whatever. You got to make him look like Superman, blah, blah, blah. And then here comes fucking the anointed one. Super Roman Reigns, fresh off his fucking dick surgery or whatever. I'm sorry. I'm so angry about this. I like Roman Reigns. I like Roman Reigns, but I wish, like, why in order to push somebody, you have to make them into Superman? The guy, you already know what's going to happen with this guy. He has a move called the Superman Punch. Oh, God.
Wow.
So, anyway, big old spear and a Superman Punch for everybody, and then Cena wins on a... What the fuck? Is he wearing like some kind of Mad Max fucking metallic chest plate, back plate? What? Just wear the shit. Wear the shit that you always wear, dummy. Oh. But I like Roman Reigns. I'm just fucking being an asshole right now. I do like Roman Reigns. I just don't like, it's cool that he came back. Cool with Roman Reigns. I'm not going to, like, you know, hate him like everybody's. He does suck at cutting a promo.
Yeah, he's got to work on that.
He had a lot of time off. Could have been working on that.
Yeah.
Believe that.
Believe that.
Believe that. I am Samoan. He talks like every stereotypical character and like stereotypical Hawaiian guy in a movie.
Right.
Hey, brah. Believe that. No character here.
Hey, brah. Got any good waves lately?
I'm waiting for the time when he has a feud and someone smacks him in the head with a coconut. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
They're going to do that.
Oh, man.
But that was before, like, I mean, there was the. It wasn't really Roman Reigns. It was the amount of interference that had already happened during the match. Like, it was cool. Like, that was big. The crowd did go crazy when he came out, and he delivered. He did deliver on his end. But there was already way too much interference going on, so it was weird. The match was going – I thought that match was pretty good until, I mean
– No, it was. I thought it was
cluttered by too much.
Super solid back-and-forth action.
Mm-hmm.
And then just – You know, as soon as I saw Big Show come down, and then I was like, oh, man, really? This is fucking lame. And then, you know, then Roman Reigns' music hits, and he comes down, and I'm like, another one?
Oh, I forgot. Our good friend Paul White came down, too.
I was like, oh man. I was like, this is fucking
I blanked that out of
hokey,
my mind.
dude.
Thank you.
I was like, this is super hokey, dude. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't mind that Roman Reigns came out. Just felt like there was way too much going on outside of the match.
Right.
But, you know, cool,
I mean,
Roman Reigns is back, bro.
To me, it was bad enough that the Stooges 2.0 kept interjecting.
These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I fucking like those guys, dude.
They're funny.
I like them.
They're
like
super
them.
Funny. Like,
they are very funny.
Like, we're just going to get our asses kicked. Sweet.
Hey. Gets him in the ring. Jamie Noble's a good wrestler, dude.
He is, for sure.
I like him. All right, so, you know, Bella and AJ.
Yeah. So
I don't have many thoughts on this match.
Due to time constraints or whatever, at Survivor Series, you give them like 30 seconds. And then in this match, you give them
30 seconds.
A little less than 8 minutes with a hokey finish with, hey, Nikki, is that a bulge in your knee pad, or are you just happy to see me?
No, it's cocaine.
You know, it's like, what the hell?
I don't know. Whatever. Another excuse to show Nikki Bella's tits on the TV.
The burial of AJ Lee seems to continue. Moving along.
Yeah, let's move on to that. Ryback and Kane, right?
Ryback and Kane in a chairs match. That match went almost 10 minutes.
I did make a Facebook comment that was a Facebook status that said, oh, looks like Ryback's ending another career here.
Oh, Ryback.
Tough looking shots in that match, but, you know.
Absolutely.
The big guy.
The big guy.
How does he think what is he going? What are they going to do with him? He is a fucking pile of dog shit. When does the sooner he realizes that they set him up to be Bill Goldberg, the better off he will be. Fix him.
Right.
I get it.
Then he sits there and goes, I'm better than Bill Goldberg.
My favorite, the quote of the year, quote of 2014. Hey, what happened out there, Ryback? Either you did that on purpose or you're dumb as fuck. Tell me which one you are. I'm dumb as fuck. Fucking idiot.
And then, of course, he goes on a radio show, and he's like, I didn't say that.
But I did configure 10 of me in figure form around CM Punk with a dumbbell on top of him, because that's how I talk shit. I immediately go to that person and talk to them directly. I just Twitter pictures of my toys. Shh, fucking moron. Oh, I hate that dude.
Listen here, Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, Skip Sheffield. Fuck you. Fuck you, Skip Ryan. Fucking fagback. Give a fuck. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm going off.
We're going off the rails, baby.
All right. So,
going off the rails,
you know,
buddy.
It's obviously another pile of crap. Then we this beauty of a match. Rusev and Swagger. Where the fuck is Cesaro? I still have to look at Jack Swagger. I still have to look at fucking Jack Swagger. Even in a feud, is irrelevant.
Oh, sorry, Jack.
Oh, Zeb Coulter fell down and got a boo-boo.
So sorry, Jack.
Fucking fake-ass Kurt Angle to the rescue. I'm waiting for that music to hit, man. Just let him come out. Let him come out and kill Rusev. That's all we need, dude. I'll do that celebration where I'm so excited that I put my shirt over my face while I'm jumping around if Kurt Angle comes out. Swear to God.
He needs to, like, do something to get out of his brand new TNA contract.
Yeah, fuck that contract. Just say you didn't sign it for real. Somebody forged your name.
I'm going to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, right. Like, he just goes on TNA on fucking the Destination America shit. He's just like, fuck you guys, I'm going to the Rumble. Everybody's just looking around like, what? What happened?
The producers in the back like, that's not in the script. There's not
just a bunch of people outside the ring going like this. Cut, cut, cut.
Cut, cut. It's live. He's got a live
mic. We tape this and we still put it on TV. What's wrong with us? So what did you even think of this? Like, they really teased that he was going to lose there.
Oh, it was horseshit, man. Like,
it was a Patriot lock.
I think to make the Patriot lock effective, he's got to take a page out of Kurt Angle's book, and he's got to do the leg.
He's got to drop down and lock that leg up.
He's got to drop down and lock it up and do the leg grapevine to lock out the ankle lock. Otherwise,
that wasn't serious. I didn't believe that was going to happen. No.
And then, of course, you know, they did the whole Jack Swagger didn't submit. He passed out. Like, come on.
No, he's no Steve Austin.
You know, and then this leads us to the Awesome Sauce main event of Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, which was originally a one-on-one match. And we didn't know until the end that it was actually a handicap match with Bray Wyatt and a flat screen TV versus Dean Ambrose.
I actually didn't think that screen was going to play any kind of role. I was like, that's neat. Took a little, give the dude time to breathe. So he turned around a little bit. It's cool.
Yeah. And then the pop. Oh, I can't see. Oh, right into Sister Abigail.
Yeah. Right.
One, two, three.
It was a horrible end of the match. I feel like they want to keep that going. So, I mean, I guess there are worse ways to keep something going, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the match itself
Let's take a look at the previous tag team match from earlier in the night.
Yeah.
About horrible ways to keep something going. It's hokey with the sparks and whatnot.
The main event itself was super solid leading up to the end.
Holy mother of God, was it solid.
Oh, my God. That was pretty amazing. But, yeah, I mean, I can't really have too bad of a taste in my mouth from the ending of it. I could have probably thought of a better way to end it, but there's also, like you said, worse ways to end it. Absolutely.
Dude, yeah, that was, I don't know. I'm going to give it a Bret Hart. I'm going 4 out of 10. I'm gonna give Dolph Ziggler Harper. I'm gonna go
match of the night. Dolph Ziggler and Harper.
Yeah, I'll give them that because of the only because Wyatt Ambrose had that TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna go. There was three good matches. Seven, eight matches they had on that card?
Yeah, eight officially, not including the show.
So I'm giving match of the night to Harper and Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Wyatt Ambrose, followed by Cena Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Which as it should have been, because those are pretty much the guys.
The thing I didn't like about the Cena Rollins match, which I was going to mention earlier, but I didn't remember until we were recapping further down the card. I didn't really like the hokey tease of the draw where they both went through the tables and then the referees were like, oh, what the hell are we going to do here? Cena won. Oh, no, Rollins won. And then the third referee was like, oh no, we're going to restart the match. Like, come on guys. Like that was kind of stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, oh yeah. When they did that, they both fell through the table.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when Lex Luger and Bret Hart fell over the top rope.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's all I kept thinking when I saw that, but I was like, I'm like, they spent a lot of time like, oh, the ref says this guy won. The ref says that. Obviously, they both fell through the table at the same fucking time. Just come out and say the ref could have just been, you know, smart, like not a moron, and been like, Yeah, saw the video there. They both went through the table at the same time. Restart the match. They wasted like fucking 5 minutes.
Right.
Having 10 refs come out to say who the winner is, and then Lillian Garcia, blah, 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 blah. I don't give a fuck. You saw what happened. Just restart the match. I'm right. sitting there going, they both went through the table at the same time. They're going to restart the match. But instead, they give me all this fucking theatrics, which I could give a shit less about.
Right.
That's obvious what happened. Just restart the match. And then all that interference really killed it. That is why I put it third. Because right. they had less of that bullshit. Like, that match would have been fine. But a fine match.
Right.
But yeah. All right, guys. That was our... what do you give it? What do you give it? What's your rate?
Oh, overall, the paper?
Yeah, I went Bret Hart on it, 4 out of 10.
Yeah, it was... Well, I don't know, man. I'd say the same, 4 out of 10. Like, there was some really decent parts, mm-hmm. but some really shitty parts at the same time.
Yes, I agree. So I guess that's it for this. This is an impromptu edition, really just threw together a Fallout show, but we did talk about a lot of stuff. This goes longer than the last few episodes we've done.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of topics, and when we're able to, we like to do stuff like this when the pay-per-views are still fresh in our minds, and we can prepare things for your listening pleasure.
All right, guys. I mean, obviously, you haven't contacted us ever, so you know where to find us.
Continue to do so or not, but we'll once again give you the links. Hit us up on Twitter at JRKINTHECURTAIN. Hit us up at our official Gmail for the podcast, jerkinthecurtain@gmail.com. You can find us on the Shootin' the Mainstream Facebook page. And now you can also find us on the official Jerkin' the Curtain Facebook page. You can listen to us on Podomatic, iTunes, and also Stitcher Radio if you are able to find that on your mobile device or computer, desktop, laptop, whatever you feel like listening to us on. We thank you for listening and taking the time out of your busy day to listen to us spout off about pro wrestling and things somewhat associated with it. Hopefully we'll get some sort of feedback eventually. Until then, I'll continue going hard and dropping pipe bombs on all your punk asses.
All right, guys. Thanks. Thanks again for listening, because I know you guys are definitely listening. And as always, I'm Dizzo.
I'm El Toro Loco.
Signing off.
Peace.